Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, but there's a little bit of a strike while the iron's hot type of mentality when you see sort of the landscape of the AFC, and so you don't want to just, you know, split the remaining games and, you know, go out wild card weekend. I mean, there should be a little bit more.
You don't want to, but the likelihood is they could. I would be surprised if they lose three in a row. Excuse me. I don't expect them to, but I would not be surprised. I would not be surprised if they lost to the Giants.
Wow.
Ooh.
I would.
Scale 1 to 85, Keith.
Oh, 84.
80.
Yeah. I'd be surprised.
Two? Something like that.
Giants
okay.
Giants are rough.
So, wow. Okay. So, you don't.
I don't expect it. Again,
no,
I don't expect
it. You just wouldn't be surprised.
It.
I got it.
So, when whatever friend of mine retweets that.
Yeah. Brian, clip that. Yeah.
He aggregates it.
Don't quote his quotes.
Yeah, the man does not like his quotes quoted. That's true. Although tomorrow, if they lose tonight,
lot riding on it. Lot on the plate tonight.
If they lose tonight, we'll be talking to Curran 25 hours from now.
Woo!
And he can take a little mini victory lap, I guess.
Not really.
No?
Didn't predict it.
Well.
Just wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, he wouldn't be
like
surprised.
Like Hunter Henry when asked about,
like, I expected that, guys.
The Sixth Sense. It'd be similar to that.
I wasn't surprised, but. Good point. Good weekend for Curran, though. The Vikings didn't look any better without J.J. McCarthy, so that's a win.
No, that seems to be the same.
that's
a wash.
Trending up for him.
Spider-Man meme, Max Brommer and J.J. McCarthy.
So we'll still talk to Curran tomorrow. We'll do tiers tomorrow.
Yes.
Kiefer Madness tomorrow on what will effectively be a Patriots Monday.
It's all very confusing, but just looking forward to it nonetheless.
Mm-hmm.
First Monday Night Football game. What? Did they play Monday Night Football last year? They did not, right?
No.
Yeah.
Been
a minute.
The last Monday home game since 2022. Is that their last, which was the Bears game, where got benched.
Yeah.
They played one in Arizona in 2023.
Thank you. So that was their last. So they played one on the road. The last one at home was 2022.
Very exciting.
When Matt got benched, which again was like a real fun game for like 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
You guys can weigh in. 617-779-7937. Our top fives are up. Top five Friday on a Monday. All-time Giants at Jones and Keefe. We are kicking ourselves for missing 1-800-54-GIANT.
Yeah.
Giant Glass.
Yeah, I mean, listen.
That's
miss. These are tough lists to put together.
People like to let us know what they think we missed, Keith.
Right.
Including LJ in the car. Hello, LJ.
Hey, guys. The Giant you missed, the biggest Giant that ever walked the earth, Robert Wadlow, the tallest man that ever lived, 8'11".
Oh, is this the guy in the Guinness Book of World Records, LJ?
Yes. I memorized that book as a kid.
I am familiar with that guy.
8'11"? Holy mackerel.
Yeah, I don't believe if I remember.
He was known as the Alton Giant and the Giant of Illinois, Robert Wadlow.
If I'm familiar with this individual, I don't think he lived the longest life. I think he's
like a big dog.
He's up there looking down on really everyone up in the sky.
He always was.
Yeah.
He always was looking down on everyone.
What's his name again?
Robert Wadlow, 8'11", did die at the young age of 22.
Yeah, well, you know.
I don't know what it was.
A lot of years of height shaming in there, though, I imagine. He was really making fun of everybody else, I would think.
I don't know
who got the last laugh, but he was doing that for a while.
Taylor.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, 8'11".
He was 6 feet tall when he was 8 years old. What? He was 6 feet tall, 8 years old.
Honestly, is that worth it for 22 years? Yeah. You're just like the tallest person for 22 years? That might be worth
it. When he was 12 years old, he was 7 feet tall.
You imagine him
and
in
people
like,
were like... Yeah, imagine playing like sixth grade basketball.
This guy's not 12!
I already peeked. Look.
Cut him open! Count the rings! I already peaked in sixth grade anyway. Yeah, athletically, so like this would... I could really peak, though.
You know, he kept growing. I mean, he's really to the literally the day he died, he kept growing. At 22 years old, he was 8'11", 3 inches taller than he was at 21.
Ooh, in a similar vein, people are texting Taco Fall.
Taco Fall, yeah, rest in peace.
We got a lot of James and the Giant Peach. I think people don't understand the exercise. You would want the peach on the list, not James.
James, I don't think, was a giant
James
at all.
James was sure not a giant. The peach was a big peach.
Not to get morbid.
No, don't.
Robert Wadlow's coffin was 10 feet 9 inches long, 2 feet 8 inches wide, 2 feet 6 inches deep, and it weighed over 1,000 pounds. 12 pallbearers and 8 assistants carried it. He's buried in Oakwood Cemetery in Alton, Illinois.
That's good info. Earl is on Long Island. Hello, Earl.
Hey, guys. Love the show.
Thank you.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, you sound great. Earl, we got you.
Hey. Yeah, so I'm a Red Sox and Giants fan, so I listen to you guys a lot for the Red Sox content, but I'd like to weigh in on the Giants today.
By all means, please.
So I have some facts about the 2-10 2025 Giants and then a point I'd like to make. So let me just rip through a few of these
facts. Yeah, I would like you to, yeah.
So, yeah, the Giants blew out the 8-4 Eagles. They beat the 8-4 Chargers. They had a 10-point lead against the 6-5-1 Cowboys. They had a 19-point lead against the 10-2 Broncos with 4:20 left in the game. Uh-huh. They had a 10-point lead against the 9-3 Bears with 3:50 left in the game. They had a lead over the 8-3-1 Packers with 4 minutes left in the game, and they had a 10-point lead over the 7-5 Lions with 10:30 left in the game.
Seven.
So. I don't think TP is crazy, but the point I want to make is
we have our keys to the game.
I guarantee you some point tonight you guys will be sweating, sitting there thinking, man, are the 10-2 Patriots about to lose to the 2-10 Giants? But
okay, so Earl, so just with all that info, that was a lot of info. What is the prediction, Earl? Are you predicting a Giants win like Curran, or are you just going to be close?
No, it's not. So I'm here to say that no matter how much you're sitting there sweating this game out, the Giants will find a way to cough up this game.
Got it.
Even if they have a 20-point lead with five minutes left in the game, the Patriots are going to pull it out. So
it ended up being a positive Patriots. I see where he was going.
Honestly thought he was going to have another Giant we missed.
That's what I thought.
I thought that's what it was.
It said top five, right? On
those Giant takes. What about the gentle Giant?
Who was that now?
Also, Robert Wadlow. He had many nicknames.
Oh, what else?
Yeah.
What else did he have?
Short life. They also called him the tallest man who ever lived. The gentleman giant. Yeah. The boy giant. The giant of Illinois and the Alton giant because he went to Alton High School.
The Giant of Illinois?
Yeah, the Giant of Illinois. He's from Illinois.
Oh.
Sadly died in Michigan, but he's born in Illinois.
8'11".
Yeah, that's the first time I think we've had a caller call in just with their own keys to the game.
No, that was good.
That was great.
Early keys. Look, man, those are usually Fridays, so you want to get in line for those early. All right, good stuff. Top five Monday here on Joe. We should do this more often. It's a good start to the week. 617-779-7937. I think that last caller, Keith, was getting into...
He's like, it's going to be a close game, but the Giants will always screw it up.
Yes.
They're 2-10.
So I was...
for a reason.
I was glancing at an article on ESPN, Breck, by Seth Walder.
Yep.
Who wrote, how much of a gap between the Giants and the Patriots is driven by their schedules? A lot of schedule talk with the Pats.
Oh, boy.
Giants are 2-10. Pats are 10-2. They aren't even in the same stratosphere in the standings, and yet... The advanced numbers are fond of the Patriots, who have the number one passing offense in terms of EPA per dropback. But ESPN's Football Power Index, Keith, the FPI?
FPI, huh?
Still believes there's a much smaller gap between these two teams playing Monday because of the strength of schedule. No team has played an easier schedule than the Patriots, and no team has played a harder schedule than the New York Giants.
How about that?
And on the snaps with rookie quarterback Jackson Dart is on the field, their team's EPA is roughly tied with the Seahawks for 10th most efficient. So in other words, when Dart's out there, they've been pretty good. Maybe that's masked because they played a tough schedule. The Pats aren't quite as good as you would think. That's masked because they played an easier schedule. So what is the gap between these two teams?
I think the gap's still pretty significant. I think if they're the Giants, they're clearly they themselves weren't just looking at the strength of schedule. Otherwise, they wouldn't have fired their coach. Right? So they fired their coach. And also, Jackson Dart has missed a bunch of games. He's back. I think it's really for a matter of time. Like, he reminds me of Anthony Richardson, where it's like he's out there, then he's going to get hurt. He's out there, then he's going to get hurt. So he's missed a couple of games. But even the stretch that he was playing, he would leave and go to the tent and everything else. He plays kind of like a wild man, so he's fun to watch. But I just wonder how long he's going to play. Plus, I think when they looked pretty good, including their only two wins of the season, they had Cam Scataboo. And Malik Nabers went down pretty early. But I think if they had, like, all their complement of guys, maybe you could make the case are a little bit better than 2-10, but they're 2-10 and their two best skill position guys are out.
So I think Dart's been pretty good this year.
Yeah.
I wonder how he looks tonight. I wonder if he's completely managed and looks like a different player. And I think I heard Shime saying this today. I think it was Shime. It might have been Wiggy. I heard it driving in. Discussing just how they now have a new coach, and part of the reason that Daboll's out is because they just let him, you know, run himself into the ground.
Yeah.
So are they going to manage him more?
And then does that take away what he does, though?
Well, right? Let's see. I also remember hearing something similar about Drake May. When Drake May got knocked out for a couple of plays earlier this year and he came back, everybody's like, oh, they're going to rein him in. You're not going to see Drake May running as much. And the next week he was running around like a wild man.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I don't really know how to see that one. I think Dart's made a lot of plays. He looks good. I would want stock in that Giants team and him specifically. Mm-hmm. But for a one-off tonight, don't you think the Giants would have a better chance with Winston? Like, I feel like there's a little more, like, he could pull off a wild game. He might throw four picks and lose them again. But he also might throw four touchdowns and 400 yards. I just feel like there's a better chance they win in a one-off with Jameis Winston.
Yeah, it seemed like they had something going, didn't they, with Winston against Detroit? Now, they ultimately lost that game in overtime, but it seemed like he was flying around. And so, I don't know. I still think Dart gives you the better chance, right? You saw what Justin Fields was able to do against him. Now, that the Jets didn't do much offensively, but the only success they really had was Fields running.
This is a good point. Dart on that first drive is going to just...
He's going to run down the field.
Carve him up.
He might have 75 total yards of offense,
that's
right? 30
point.
Passing, 45 running or whatever, and then, like, running... A guy runs in touchdowns all the time. So I think he gives you the better chance. It's just, what are the chances he makes it through the beginning of the game through the end of the game? And he doesn't have a lot to really work with. Like, he's going to have to... It's almost like the Jets in a way, where I guess Wandale Robinson's had his moments, and he had a big game against Detroit with Winston, but I think he gives you a little bit more of a puncher's chance. But yeah, it is interesting looking through their schedule. They have, for a team that was also in last place a year ago, weren't they? Were they in last place? Yeah,
they were. Yeah,
that division, they had to have been. They didn't really get the breaks, like, they just based on the divisions that they play. And the improvements of some of the teams that maybe you didn't think were going to be as good. Like, you're looking up and down their schedule and like, God, it's not really that easy. Gets a little bit better, I guess, after this week. But, yeah, they're going to be picking up the top of the draft once again.
617-779-7937. You could jump in on that. Your thoughts on tonight's game, the gap between these two teams. Also, how do they replace Will Campbell and Jared Wilson? I thought Phil Perry had some good insight on what the Patriots could do to make up for their losses on the left side. But this may have got lost in the shuffle over Thanksgiving weekend. Brian Burns, well, if I'm not mistaken, when he was in Carolina, was he the one who him and Matt got into it? Matt Tripp, that was him, right?
Yep. He called him dirty, I think.
Exactly. So he's not afraid to criticize quarterbacks.
No.
I thought this was wild criticism from Brian Burns. Again, this happened over the long Thanksgiving break, if you missed it. But this is the Giants edge rusher and what he sees from Drake May and has seen from Drake May so far this year.
Oh, he's talented. Talented arm. I'm not really too sure yet about his how quick he is to process everything, but I do feel like he makes the right plays at the right time. He does seem a bit poised in the maybe a little bit too poised in the pocket, but just overall, he's been showing his talent for sure.
Okay, so timeout.
What do you mean about
you're going to hear the follow up question here, because everybody probably thought the exact same thing when you heard that. What do you? Too poised.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean too poised? So they follow up here, and he keeps going.
What do you mean about two poise? I think folks have said that about Jackson Dart a little bit, too. Of maybe there's a little bit of how do you sort of exploit that as a defender?
Really just getting to him, like hitting his blind spots, like his backside. Like, I feel like at times he's so caught up in, you know, making the right play or, you know, getting so caught up in his routes downfield, he just forgets about somewhat of what who's rushing him, if that makes sense. Like, what I mean by poise, it could be a bad thing, could be a good thing, but what I mean by poise is that he takes his time, that he makes the right reads, and, you know, he tries to make the right play. It can also bite you in the butt at a certain amount of times if, you know, you got edge rushers coming and you're not really too cognitive of where they are.
You sure about that?
Okay, so...
Like, I sort of get what he means, but then, like, trying to explain it, like, it's hard to explain that. And I don't even think he meant it, like, as an insult. But I also understand the follow. In a weird way, I kind of get everything that's going on.
Honestly, I think Drake Maye's kind of said some of this about himself when he's like, I'm holding onto the football too long, trying to make plays. That's why sacks are on me. He said that before. So I think that's what Brian Burns is trying to say. But, like, get ready for that to get thrown back in your face and Maye carves him up tonight.
100%. Yeah, I think he was just being honest. And then when he even kind of caught himself, like, as he's answering. He's like, well, you know, not like a bad thing. But, yeah, I think because you can see with some young quarterbacks, it's kind of the opposite. So if you had to pick between the two, you'd obviously take this. But maybe there's, like, not the sense of urgency that there should be on every play. And it has to be one of the reasons why you say, all right, the offensive line's a lot better this year, but you're still getting sacked at a really high rate. And so Burns is watching all this tape on Drake Maye, and that's what he saw. But you're right, it is going to add to a little something after the game. Somebody, you know, somebody's going to have a little bit more something to say after.
A little too poised.
Yeah, a little bit.
It's funny, the criticism of Drake Maye has started to pile up just a little bit. Like, Stephen A's called him a liar. Cam Newton, I don't care what Cam Newton says, doesn't like him or hates Patriots fans or is riding for Bill Belichick.
Mm-hmm.
Nice loss, by the way, for him over the weekend, competitive with NC
State.
What
happened?
So, like, there's something odd going on there. And now Brian Burns is like, poised? Too poised. He's a little too poised is what that is.
Well,
so...
Better than the alternative.
Well, some mounting criticism of Drake Maye, all of which is pretty benign and pretty mild.
Yeah.
But it is starting to pile up a little bit with the Patriots, winners of 9 straight. They can go to 11 wins, only team in the NFL with 11 wins, with a victory tonight on Monday Night Football over the New York Giants, who may be in the game. It wouldn't surprise Tom Curran if they won the game. But as a caller pointed out, they'll be in it late. Giants will probably lose it even more so than maybe the Patriots will win it. So we'll get to all your thoughts. 617-779-7937. We will do the Monday four-pack at 12:30.
Keith.
The Pats and Giants. I don't know how many got stolen already, Keith. We'll have to stay tuned. That's at 1 o'clock. Keith's keys to Pats and Giants. And on the way next, right after Trending with Billy Lanny, what happened from week 3?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
13.
Ho Jones, week 13 in the NFL wraps up tonight with the Patriots and the Giants. But we had a bunch of games from yesterday, including all three other AFC East teams in action. Let's get to the Bills and the Steelers.
Hey, what happened?
From the 8.
Look inside.
Allen being pushed, and he's driven across for the touchdown. And for the 49th time in his career, he has a game in which he's thrown for a score and run for a score.
Allen. Good call by Nance. Bills beat the Steelers 26-7, kind of a slow start. It was 7-3 Pittsburgh at the half in this game, but Aaron Rodgers gets banged up. Steelers fall to 6-6. The Bills do improve to 8-4. But didn't really look great doing
it. I mean, that would be my takeaway as well. Like, I don't think Pittsburgh is very good.
No.
So, I was very, very, very unimpressed with the Bills for a half. And that's kind of my takeaway watching the Bills pretty much week in and week out. They had the one shootout with the Bucks where I guess, you know, I thought Allen was fine, which is crazy to say about a 6-touchdown game.
Right.
But he also turned it over a bunch in that game. Yeah. I don't think they're playing well, but they did win to their
credit. Has to. James Cook had 144 yards rushing on 32 carries. What about the New York football Jets at home against the Falcons?
What happened?
This one came down to a last-second field goal by former Patriot Nick Folk.
From the right hash, from 56 yards out, his career long is 58. And Folk's kick is good.
27-24, your final. Jets get their third win of the season. They're still playing. The Falcons fall to 4-8. Bijan Robinson, big game, however, in a loss. 142 yards rushing and a touchdown.
Do you think there was any chance that kick was going in?
No.
Like,
the Folk was good here.
We've seen Nick Folk here.
But usually it was inside of 50.
Well, that was such a long kick.
Yeah.
He had already missed one earlier.
He missed from closer earlier.
Yeah, I was like, there's no chance.
And it was like a knuckleball. The thing barely went through, but it counts.
All right, the Jets. They have now won 3 out of 5. They beat Cincinnati, Cleveland, and Atlanta. They played the Pats kind of tough. They played the Ravens kind of tough. Like,
I think all this does is keep Aaron Glenn around for another year.
Yeah.
Fair. That's kind of it.
We thought they might go winless. Like, you've earned yourself a second year.
Definitely.
Congrats. Yeah.
Definitely. Also, a coach that is maybe we're surprised is still here, Mike McDaniel, and the Miami Dolphins taking on the New Orleans Saints. Late fourth quarter, Saints score a touchdown. They are now 2 points back. So, what do? You go for two.
Tyler Shuck throws. It's intercepted. He can get points on the return. And on the run, Minka Fitzpatrick. He's going to go all the way and seal it for Miami.
Run out of air?
Yeah, you might have lost a little bit of air there. The oxygen went out of the building.
I don't think
that was Chris Myers. The Chris Myers game.
Oh, Chris Myers
Saints
got that
fish.
Game.
Yeah, Saints and Fish.
Wow.
Tyler Shuck had a couple of touchdown passes, but not enough. As the Dolphins get another win. So the AFC East coming up win so far.
Yeah. Chris Myers is probably looking. He's unfamiliar with the roster. He's so used to the Titans. He knows the Titans roster
inside
front
and out.
To back. Yeah. But when he gets a new team, he's like, wait a minute.
Yeah. That Saints is just a terrible, miserable
it is.
Existence.
You see the onside kick they pulled off?
No.
Which I get. They reviewed it, and red zone cut away for a while, but they upheld it. A gorgeous onside kick in that game. But they wound up losing anyway.
All right, what about the AFC South? We have the Texans and the Colts.
What happened?
Fake it and then give it to Collins. Looking to turn it upfield. He will for the touchdown. On the ground, Nico Collins.
Nico Collins with a touchdown run as the Houston Texans go into Indianapolis and get a 20-16 win. So Houston keeps their playoff hopes alive. They are 7-5. The Colts dropped to 8-4. It's their first home loss of the year.
AFC, Jones and Keefe, AFC playoff predictor. Indianapolis Colts?
0%.
0%.
They're out.
The Houston Texans have been doing, so they've won five out of six, four in a row.
Yes.
They beat Buffalo and Indy the last 2 weeks. They get KC next week. So this is a team doing dirty work for you.
Yeah.
Although, as you said earlier, Keith, maybe too much dirty work. There might be a team you want to avoid at all costs in the playoffs.
Then you get their defense in the first round. You're like, wait a minute.
But
I want to face them.
They're playing well.
All right. Well, if the Jacksonville Jaguars could get a win, they would be in first place in the AFC South. They took on the Titans.
What happened?
Well, everybody beats the Titans.
Third and goal. Lawrence. End zone. Caught. Myers for the Jacksonville touchdown.
Jacoby Myers. Good midseason pickup for them. He had 6 catches, 90 yards, and that touchdown. Jaguars with an easy 25-3 win over the Titans. So the Jaguars are 8-4, but have the tiebreaker over the Colts. Titans fall to 1-11.
Yeah, we said on trade deadline day when they got Jacoby Myers, oh, what'd you want the Patriots to do? And we're like, I don't know. I mean, teams like the Jaguars are getting better. We were laughed at. They're now the 3 seed in the AFC winning that division.
Yeah.
And Jacoby Myers had a long 50-yard catch before that touchdown. He's been a good pickup for them.
What a year for first-year head coaches. Mike Vrabel's 10-2, Liam Cohen's 8-4, Ben Johnson's 9-3. So those are 3 guys right there that turn their teams around.
The 2-1 seeds in the respective conferences. New head coach, second-year quarterback.
Yeah. Well, oh, yeah. Oh, in the division. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry. I guess the Pats need to win tonight. Back to the 1 seed.
No, but that's true. All right, AFC West, Chargers at home against the Raiders.
What happened?
Conkey in motion on 3rd and 2. Herbert looking to run. Buying time now. Throws. Caught. Touchdown. Ladd McConkey.
Chargers 31-14 over the Raiders. So LA improves to 8-4. Got sort of a bunch of teams there with 4 losses now in the AFC. Raiders fall to 2-10. In Tom Brady's first year as part owner of the Raiders. Also, I don't know if you saw this. The Chargers were wearing, like, the navy blue units.
I did.
Not bad. I think when they go away from them and then when they come back to them, I kind of like them.
I like them, too.
I don't know if I like the number on the side, like they're Alabama.
On the helmet?
Yeah.
Well, I like that. I do think the powder blues
don't
are great.
Don't they normally do that?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. They have so many different uniforms. They're honestly hard to keep track of.
They did it back in the day, and then maybe they do now, and so they did it with these ones. Because these were like the Junior Seau Natron Means Business uniforms.
Yeah.
And
Stan Humphries.
Stan the man.
Yeah.
So I didn't mind those.
Their closing kick, by the way, the Chargers, who I, for some reason, don't take seriously. They're very Jekyll and Hyde for me. They just got smoked by Jacksonville. Herbert's hurt, by the way. Non-throwing Bert. Finger, hand,
Hurt
whatever
Bert.
It is.
Hurt Bert.
Yeah. Hey, they broke a bone in his hand.
They finish with Philly, at KC, at Dallas, home against Houston, at Denver.
Like they That's might Chargers?
Not, they might not make the playoffs.
What's the playoff predictor on that? 0%?
0%. Okay. I think they're 0%.
Damn.
Yeah.
Damn. Yeah. They're out. All right.
We're not going to have enough teams making the playoffs.
We have 6 teams.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. All right, what about the Cleveland Browns at home against the San Francisco 49ers?
Here they only have 1 tight end in. 3rd and goal, McCaffrey. Touchdown. Got in there.
Ooh, touchdown population. Christian McCaffrey. Niners are 9-4.
Yeah.
Despite the it was a Brock Purdy game. He went in there. He had a touchdown pass, touchdown run. He also did the Dougie, I think.
Oh, did he? I missed
that.
I
think that's what it was.
Oh, bringing that back?
He did the Dougie. Yep.
What year is it?
Browns only put up 8 points. It was a Shedeur Sanders start.
Yeah.
Home start for Shedeur, 16-25, 149 yards passing, 1 touchdown, was sacked 3 times. I don't know.
Team it's fun. It really doesn't matter who they play there. They all kind of, even Flacco, who like went to Cincinnati and was unlocked before he got hurt.
Yeah, the Cleveland's just a mess.
It's like pretty much no matter who they play, that quarterback is like 150, a touchdown, and a pick every week.
It's
Flacco,
gross.
Gabriel, Shedeur. Pretty much the same thing.
Well, last night we talked about it to lead off the show, but it was went to overtime. Broncos and Commanders.
Hey, what happened?
Washington for the win. Mariota has it rejected by Menino, and Denver has won 9 in a row.
Yeah, it was one of those overtimes where both teams scored a touchdown, and the Commanders, who were 3-8 going in, went for 2. I felt like it was a no-brainer. Unfortunately, they couldn't get it, so they fall to 3-9. Denver, 10-2. Right now has the tiebreaker with the Patriots. Of course, with a win tonight, Patriots get to 11-2. They'd be back in first place in the AFC. As somebody texted in, who has the tiebreaker? Well, right now Denver does.
But that can flip on a lot
of things. That can change a lot of things. But if both win out, what is it like? It's just your AFC record, but then it goes there's another step down because there is no head-to-head.
I think it goes to because they have the same conference record right now, and they have the same overall record pending the game tonight.
Yeah.
So I think it goes to percentage in common games.
Oh, God.
Tonight's a common game.
Right. So I don't know how much that'll swing on a Giants win.
But the Patriots losing to the Raiders in this case does not help them.
No.
Yeah. All right, what about the Rams and the Panthers?
What happened?
The Rams, everybody's favorite team going into the weekend.
2 for 2 today is Carolina.
on this crucial fourth down. Young, McMillan, got it! Touchdown, Panthers lead!
Kind of a crazy game for the Carolina Panthers, who are 7-6 now, thanks to a 31-28 win over the Rams, who fall to 9-3. Stafford, couple of touchdown passes. Also, a couple of interceptions, and many are suggesting he may have lost the MVP based on the performance yesterday. Still a bunch of games to go, but he was a heavy favorite going into the weekend. This knocked him down. We looked this up. He's still technically the favorite, but Drake May is very, very close.
Oh, yeah. It was plus 105 to 125, something like that.
Yeah.
Carolina Wild team. They dropped 3 out of 4, got smoked by the Patriots week 4. Then they won 3 straight, Miami, Dallas, the Jets. Since then, red light, green light. Buffalo loss, Green Bay win, New Orleans loss, Atlanta win, San Francisco loss, Rams win.
Yeah.
So a tough team to figure out, but they're 7-6 and knocking on the door of the wild card in the NFC.
All right, what about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at home against the Arizona Cardinals?
What happened?
On 2nd and 5, it's Bucky Irving. Got a block. Towards the goal line. In for a Tampa Bay touchdown.
Bucky Irving was back. Guy's been questionable for like eight weeks.
Just in time for your fantasy?
Nah, he's on my bench.
Playoff
run. Nah, I didn't want to play him.
Oh.
I didn't want to play him. I didn't trust
play
him.
Play him?
Didn't trust
him. We're waiting for him for months.
I didn't want to be fooled again, so I wouldn't even do it. Thought he'd leave early. But the Bucs, kind of an ugly game. They beat the Cardinals, so Tampa Bay's 7-5. Arizona falls to 3-9. And Jacoby Brissett, this is one of those statistical anomalies. Drake May has not thrown for 300 yards in a game in his career.
That's probably done it like 4 in a row.
He did it again. He did it again yesterday. He's done it 3 in a row.
Wow.
4 times this season and 3 in a row.
Yeah. Have they won any of them?
No.
I didn't think so.
Not only starts 300. Jacoby Brissett was there for 1 win. It was against Dallas where he threw for 261. But he had a 452 in a loss to San Fran, 317 in a loss to Jacksonville, 301 in a loss to Tampa Bay.
Look, it's just odd that Drake hasn't thrown for 300 yards, and sooner or later, I would like him to do that. But generally, a quarterback piling up 300 in three straight, you're probably losing like Jacoby Brissett.
It is strange. Yeah. Tampa Bay is the NFC South leader at 7-5. Carolina 7-6. So we'll see. Who do you like there? You picked preseason. I know you picked. We both picked Bucks, but you had the Panthers in the playoffs.
I had them as a wild card. I do think Tampa will win, but there's. They still didn't look great yesterday, so I don't feel as strongly about that.
No. The South, the NFC is not very strong. All right, let's go to the Seahawks and the Vikings.
What happened
to the Sam Darnold Bowl?
He rolls. He's pressured. He's in trouble. Heaves it up. Oh, no. Curtis Jones. House call. He will take it all the way. A game-changing play from Curtis Jones. 84 yards and no flags.
Yeah, that was Max Brosmer, the starting quarterback, rookie quarterback, undrafted out of Minnesota, in place of J.J. McCarthy, kind of rolling out on the right side, falling down, flips it underhanded right to Seattle, who ran it back for the score. The Sam Darnold didn't do anything.
I mean,
Darnold threw for 128.
I said earlier, I was like, I was not impressed with the Seahawks at all yesterday. They're 9-3. They won 26-0.
Yeah.
They didn't score an offensive touchdown, I don't think, did they? Oh, no, Charbonnet got one late.
No, they had one.
So,
glass of Charbonnet.
But it was like 8 million field goals yesterday. They scored on defense. So, yeah, there were no real winners in the Sam Darnold Bowl yesterday.
No, I was going up against Seattle kicker Jason Myers in fantasy. Nightmare.
I had him. Suck on that, Hart. I had him.
That guy was awesome.
Yeah.
Holy smokes. Jaxon Smith-Njigba only had 2 catches for 23 yards.
Yeah, I mean.
League's leading receiver, but they didn't need it. 26-0.
Did Jefferson finish negative? I saw he had 1 catch for negative 4 yards.
2 for 4.
So he had an 8-yard catch. Nice.
6 targets, 2 for 4.
Oh.
Yeah, the shine's come off Kevin O'Connell just a little bit. I still like him, but that's come off a little
bit. In the NFC right now, the Chicago Bears are the number 1 seed. The Rams are the 2, Eagles 3, Bucks 4. Those are your division leaders. The current
Seahawks.
Yeah, Seahawks are the top wildcard team, followed by Packers and Niners.
Got it.
So how much change do you think there will be? The teams with a winning record outside of the playoffs in the NFC. Lions, Cowboys, Panthers. Any or all of those teams get in.
Yeah, I might say they hold. I know that's
boring,
but I think
the 7 might stay.
I think they might hold.
I think they might, I guess. maybe Carolina can win that division over Tampa.
Honestly,
I think they have a better chance of that than they do getting in as a wild card.
They have the best path. The other one that I wouldn't totally sleep on is just the Eagles just completely falling apart.
Yeah.
And Dallas somehow gets in because the Eagles just fall apart.
Yeah, that could be. That's what the way it looked on Thursday. Eagles wrap up the year with Chargers on Monday Night Football next week. Raiders, two Commanders games, and a Bills game.
Raiders, Commanders. That's probably, they probably get in. But
getting in. Yeah, yeah.
They're
Cowboys
such a mess.
Lions, Vikings, Chargers, Commanders, Giants.
Mm.
Similar. So I bet the Eagles win the division.
It'll be more the Eagles beating themselves than anything. Is really what that would be.
There you go. There's what happened.
Okay, perfect. What happened? Week 13 of the NFL. Mostly a strong weekend for the Patriots.
Sure.
Right up until Sunday Night Football last night, which ended right around midnight. If you stayed up for it, we'll get back into that coming up with all your phone calls. 617-779-7937. We can also get into how the Patriots replace their offensive linemen, Will Campbell and Jared Wilson, who are going to miss the game tonight. Will Campbell placed on IR over the Thanksgiving weekend, how the Patriots can combat that against the Giants' pass rush. That's next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jones and Keith here on WEEI. We will take another look at the weekend that was and how it shook out for the Patriots coming up at high noon. Meantime, we're looking at some more Patriots and Giants. We were reading from Seth Walder earlier today. The gap actually not that large between these two teams. The Giants have played the toughest schedule in the NFL, which masks their 2-10 record a little bit. They've been very competitive in all these games. Patriots are 10-2, but they played the easiest schedule. So maybe these teams are closer than you would think. Vegas doesn't agree, by the way. At last check, Keith, Pats are 7.5-point favorites. I don't know if that's moved at all.
Yeah, 7.5, depending.
But that's where they're at. So I would say I feel pretty good about the Patriots taking care of business tonight, winning the game. I would be surprised, unlike Tom Curran.
I would be, too.
If they lost this game. The one fear I do have about it, I guess beyond the Giants' pass rush against the Pats' O-line, which we'll get to, is just the human nature let down. You had a break. It was Thanksgiving. You have another break coming up with the bye week. It's a late bye week. The team is a little banged up. And I do wonder if there's just a little bit of a look-ahead factor with the team this week. I'm not overly concerned about it. I'm not picking the Giants to win or anything like that. But I wonder if we come in tomorrow and if they drop the game, how big of a factor that would be. That would be one minor concern.
It felt like to me the Cincinnati game was a bit of a letdown, and they still won.
Good
right?
Point.
So I feel like I wonder if that's what it was. And it was a letdown for a number of reasons. One, the Bengals aren't that good. Also, no Ja'Marr Chase. Also, you thought maybe it'd be Burrow, and it wasn't. So, like, that was ripe for sort of a bit of a letdown. This one, I don't know. I guess you could be like, oh, I got the bye week coming up. But this team doesn't feel like that would get to them. I think they...
Well, I agree. The way that Vrabel's had them going all year, I would...
And it's a home game, which after a couple early losses, they, I think, really made a point to be better at home. It is Monday Night Football, so regardless of the opponent on the other side, I think that might get those guys fired up. Didn't Drake May say he's never, or did he not play Monday Night Football, right? He's never played Monday Night Football.
Oh, he has not.
Yeah, obviously not. They didn't play last year. So he's never even played Monday Night Football. So, I don't know, I think they'll be ready to go. Plus, you know, those guys aren't unaware that the Broncos won last night, and if they're just looking forward and what they can kind of control, like, they got to keep up with it. So, like, I really don't anticipate any kind of a letdown.
It does keep the pressure on a little bit with the Broncos winning last night. That's true. Meanwhile, this is added to the absence of Will Campbell and Jared Wilson, who we know are out. Again, Campbell was placed on IR over Thanksgiving weekend. Wilson was not. So, Wilson...
He's been ruled out, but he's not. Yeah, right.
Right. So... the fact they didn't place him on IR leads me to believe that, you know, he should be back for
less than four games.
The Bills or the Ravens game after the bye week.
Uh-huh.
Garrett Bradbury has landed on the injury report with an illness.
My geesh. That was what Moses left the Cincinnati game with.
Good point.
Right,
yes.
With illness.
I forgot about that, but yes, he left that game. He returned and finished.
They all got the trots.
But he was out for that game, or stretches of that game, rather. But yeah, Garrett Bradbury on the injury report with an illness, as Phil Perry writes, not ideal for New England. With Will Campbell on IR and Jared Wilson already ruled out. He said they'll have to do some shuffling up front if Bradbury can't play. I can't imagine he doesn't play.
I think he probably plays.
Illness?
Well, here's the thing, though. Like, Morgan Moses last time played, but he didn't play every snap.
Sure.
So it's one of those things, like, if you're really fighting it, if it's coming out both ends, you might have to have your backup center ready to go for a few snaps.
Yeah, I would say...
I think he plays.
Me too. How well, I don't know. Does he finish the game? I don't know. But throw on the uniform and let's try to gut it out tonight, especially with who's out there with a case of the sniffies.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, speaking of Phil Perry, he wrote this over the weekend in his matchup preview, NBC Sports Boston. Here are some ideas to make up for the losses of Will Campbell and Jared Wilson.
Okay.
And I guess maybe Bradbury. He says they could change up their running game and lean more into outside runs that they've executed well this season. This is an interesting matchup because the Giants are a horrendous run defense. The Patriots are bad at running the football, even when they have their full personnel.
Yeah.
So,
and even against a team like Cincinnati, who also can't stop the run.
Right.
So
I don't know who has the advantage there. Like, Giants are a bad run D, Pats are a bad rushing offense, and they're banged up. I don't know how well they're going to run tonight. I don't know how much they're going to feature Travion Henderson. If you're running outside, that sounds like it would be a Henderson game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious if last week, Keith, was Travion Henderson getting most of the work because it was Stevenson's first game back, or I wonder if the coaching staff sees it as Henderson has passed him and now Ramondre's like a supplemental player. I don't think we know yet.
Well, he had back-to-back good games. I think it was a little overstated. Was it the Jets game? I feel like, you know, his yards per carry weren't great.
No, he had
touchdowns.
He had the touchdowns.
Which is great. But I don't know if it was like, hey, he's had two great games. But he's had two very good games. And so last week I thought was a little bit disappointing because he did get the bulk of the carries. Now, he didn't get the goal line carries. Here's Jennings. Here's more Stevenson. So we'll see if that part of it changes. But, yeah, that's still an area of the offense that I feel the worst about.
So you could try leaning on the run and leaning into outside runs that they've done well. And specifically, that to me sounds like Travion Henderson.
Yep.
They could also, writes Phil, leave their playmaking backs and tight ends in as pass protectors to help projected starters Vidarian Lowe at left tackle and Ben Brown at left guard. Honestly, out of those two, I think I'd lean more into that. Keep more guys in to help protect. Put fewer guys out in the route. I think that would be, out of those two scenarios, what I would lean into more. Especially because Burns has been a menace. Thibodeau's ruled out, right? He's not playing.
He's out. Yeah, he's not playing.
And then Abdul Carter has a half sack this year. The guy's going to be in the backfield constantly. So just get ready for that tonight. I don't know if he's going to pile up the sack totals or not. But he has been pressuring quarterbacks like crazy. So I probably would lean towards leaving an extra guy in as opposed to, hey, let's run the football more with those guys out.
And I also think with guys like Diggs and Booty and Pop Douglas, I feel like Drake May is probably still good enough, and those guys are good enough to kind of get open, and you don't necessarily need the tight ends and the backs all in the route, right? So, like, if Hunter Henry has to stay in a little bit more, or Austin Hooper has to stay in a little bit more to help out Vidarian Lowe, which he's going to need, that's the smart way to go.
And if those guys stay in, you have Drake May's escapability. And this,
also that.
This might be a week where you need to lean into that more going into the bye week just to get you there. There's also this from Phil. They could have May try to get rid of the football more quickly.
Mm-hmm.
He currently ranks 36 out of 41 quarterbacks in quick game rate. So I wonder if this does speak to some of what Brian Burns was talking about, where he hangs on to the football. He's holding out, trying to make plays. that could lead to some sacks. That also leads to bigger plays down the field.
Well, I was going to say, this
is
the longer
you hold out to make the big play.
He's the best deep ball thrower.
Correct.
So something's got to give.
So do they lean in on the quick game more? Text line said this as well. They said screen passes galore. And maybe that's a good way to use the Giants' pass rush and their speed on defense.
And that's also the tight end screen stuff, too, where you see a lot of times where Hunter Henry, you know, five times in a row stays in a block, and then that sixth time kind of squirts out and catches a pass and then runs with it afterwards. So
it is the Josh McDaniels special. So
it is.
Draws and screens.
Tight end screens. If I see one more Ben Watson tight end screen.
I was going to say, I mean, that is his offense. I'm not saying they haven't run it at all this year, but not as much as he's run it in the past when he's been here.
What about, like, Westover and Tonga, especially, like, down,
was
like,
Tonga
short
playing?
Oh, yeah, actually, I don't even know. I don't know if – has he been ruled out, or is he just –
I know he was questionable last I saw, I thought.
Let me see. Yeah, he's questionable. Good point. Yeah, only Wilson and Schooler have been ruled out. And then Thibodeau on the other side ruled out.
So we'll monitor that. Yeah. But, yeah, I don't think tonight's the night to lean in on, like, smash-mouth running. I don't really think tonight's a night to run the football, to be honest. And I know that plays into the Giants' pass rush, but maybe you get it out quickly in the screen game.
Yep.
Maybe you leave tight ends and backs in if you're not going to run the screen. Leave them in for an extra man. And I think this is a night. It's Monday Night Football, and you're at home, and you're going into the bye week. This is a night to lean on your franchise quarterback, I think. 617-779-7937. You can jump in here on a Monday with Jones and Keefe, although it's not a Patriots Monday. We'll talk to Hunter Henry and Christian Ellis on the show tomorrow with the Pats on Monday Night Football tonight. We will get you the Monday four-pack at 12:30. Four-pack of questions for Patriots and Giants coming up a little over a half hour from now. On the way next, a borderline perfect weekend for the Patriots right up until Sunday Night Football. We have thoughts on it. We'll get to it next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vien and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.